Good morning. Let's all stand. Welcome to our Palm Sunday. Let's lift up our voices. We're going to sing a song called All Glory, Laud, and Honor. It is the Palm Sunday Hosanna song, but to the tune of Stand Up for Jesus.
All glory, laud, and honor to the Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet Hosanna.
Another Palm Sunday song, Hosanna loud, Hosanna to the tune of I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
Hosanna loud, Hosanna, the little children sing. Through pillar, court, and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus, who has blessed them, close folded to His children sing their praises, the simplest and the best. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven our King. Oh, may we ever praise Him with our presence eternally rejoice.
Amen. It is good to have each of you in the Lord's house this morning. I know that we got quite the snowstorm yesterday, and lots of our folks they waited till the storm was over, and this morning they're digging themselves out. We're so grateful in our church. Yesterday we had a wedding at 2:00, right in the middle of that blizzard. And Kurt and Sam and Harmon, they came and they plowed and cleared all the sidewalks to make sure that it was safe as people came in and out. And Harmon even stayed out there and swept the sidewalks to make sure when people came out it was safe. And all the folks who do things around our church, I'm so grateful for the volunteers, the hard work. It is what makes our church function well. I'm very grateful. Good to have you in God's house this morning. We have a little palm cross we're going to give everybody to remind you of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem and the palms being laid down. We're going to look at that text this morning. And also, because it's a palm cross, it reminds us why He came into Jerusalem. He came for the purpose to die for your sins and mine. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and this morning, as we gather together, let's reflect on Him. Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for the gift of eternal life. And we know that the price paid for that was You going to the cross for us. And we are so grateful that You were willing to do that. And I pray that this morning, as we look at all that transpired that day, help us to listen, to learn, to draw nearer to You. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Our Maker, the gates are open wide. what love has done. Amazing, He bought us with His blood. Our Savior, the cross has overcome. We worship You, we worship You. Shout, Hosanna, Jesus be saved. Shout, Hosanna, He rose from the grave. Come and lift Him up, Hosanna. Now let the lost be found, forgiven. Death could not hold Him down. He's risen, so let the saints cry out. We worship You, we worship You. Shout, Hosanna, Jesus be saved. Shout, Hosanna, He rose from the grave. Come and lift Him up, Hosanna. The same power that rolled the stone away, the same power alive in us today. King Jesus, we call upon Your name, no other name. The same power that rolled the stone away, the same power alive in us today. King Jesus, we call upon Your name, no other name. Shout, Hosanna, Jesus be saved. Shout, Hosanna, He rose from the grave. Come and lift Him up, Hosanna. Shout, Hosanna, Jesus be saved. Shout, Hosanna, He rose from the grave. Come and lift Him up, Hosanna.
Would you please stand together? We're going to lift up our voices as we sing, Hosanna. Praise is rising. You are the God who saves us. Hosanna. Ready?
Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna.
That is Up your eyes, see the Son of Heaven.
shout your praise, sing the name of Jesus. Please take your Bibles with me if you would. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Here you find the very famous text that gives us the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 10. And the simple title of the message is The Triumphal Entry. And when we look at this text, we want to draw a little bit from history. Because at that time and before in the world, when emperors, kings would enter into a city, great preparation would be put into place. They would smooth the roads. They would prepare the way. Some would even lay across the streets cloth or palms to smooth the way in for the emperor, for the king. So when we see this glimpse in history, when we see this moment in time where Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, we're seeing the people respond to Christ as was prophesied in the Old Testament as an emperor or as a king coming into Jerusalem. So it's good for us to kind of pull that picture together to understand that something miraculous is happening here. Jesus, we know, and we're going to see in the message, is the King of Kings. But for the common man in Jerusalem, even those who were the disciples of his, they didn't fully grasp the entire picture. But this is a work of God moving into these people's hearts and lives. So as I read down verses 1 through 10, just understand a little bit of the circumstances, the time, the history that ties into this. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we look into these verses. Help us, Lord, to take a glimpse into time, into a miraculous event that was picturing and pointing to Jesus as the true King. Help us to worship him and exalt him and understand that as he comes into Jerusalem, he's coming with a purpose. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
when we look at verses 1 through 3 and also verses 6 and 7, you find that for this miracle to happen, for this event to happen, the Lord reaches out to obedient disciples. And that is still today the same thing. God reaches out to the hearts and lives of His disciples, His individuals who are folks who say, "Here am I, Lord, what can I do?" Those kind of disciples. And He says, "I need you to help me." It's kind of like I mentioned this morning, that yesterday afternoon, the plowing, the shoveling, all that went in. Then it had to be done again this morning as the team got here and they plowed and they shoveled and snowblowed. Well, that takes a willing heart, doesn't it? And as you look in this text, that's what you find. Listen again with me at verses 1, 2, and 3. And you find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples. The last part of verse 1, it says, "And Jesus then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me." So He chooses out these disciples who had stuck close to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're with Him. They're people who walk with God. They don't just talk the talk. They walk the walk. Isn't it so important that you and I, as disciples, as children of God, we consistently walk our faith? It should be real enough to us that it's not just talked about, it is practiced. And so you find these disciples walking with the Lord, and He chooses out these two, and He says to them, "I have a need. I need you to do something for me." And in verse 2, He lays that out for them. He says to them, "I need you to go to the village over against you, and straightway you're going to find a donkey there tied with a colt. Loose them and bring them to me." And Jesus knows ahead of time the owner of that colt, the owner of that donkey, is probably going to say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing with my donkey and my colt? So He says to him in verse 3, "And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway He will send them." It's such a unique interaction that takes place. It's kind of like somebody walking up into your driveway, and they go to get into your car, and you say, "Hey, wait a minute, what are you doing getting into my car?" And they say, "The Lord has need of your car today." And then you have to make a decision, don't you? You've got to decide, well, maybe you're a lunatic and you can't take my car. Or maybe somehow God has touched your heart, spoken to you in a unique and real way. And you go ahead and say, "If the Lord needs your car, so be it. Take the car." But that takes the hand of God at work and a yielded and humble heart. And Jesus knows up front. He says, "You just tell that donkey owner that I have a need for his donkey." And sure enough, He lets him go. So we find that Christ gives the instructions. He gives them to disciples who are willing. They're able. They're ready to do the work. And when you come down to verse 6, look at what it says. "And the disciples went and did as Jesus had commanded them." Don't you love that? They went and did simply what they were told. It's every parent's dream, isn't it? You just simply tell them what to do, and they do it. There's no big argument. There's no big hesitation. There's no, "Well, I need to know more." There's no, "Well, I don't know," and step back and don't do anything because they can't figure it out. These guys just take the instruction and they go and do the work of the Lord. I love that. And here you find, because of that willingness, because of that ability to just go do what they've been asked to do, they get it done, don't they? Even if they face a little bit of an obstacle, somebody saying, "Hey, what are you doing with my donkey?" They still get it done, don't they? They promptly are obedient. They just go and face what Christ has asked them to do. Look at verse 7, though. Interesting. They brought the ass and the colt. They put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. I love their creativity. their self-motivation. So they bring the donkey to the Lord. You don't see the Lord say to them, now listen, I need you to go ahead and take your coat. If you'd go ahead and take this coat right here, see that donkey? I just need you to lay that coat right on that donkey so that I can go ahead and sit up on the coat. It's not what happens. It says that they bring the donkey to the Lord Jesus Christ and they take their coat off and they put it on him. And then they get the Lord up on there. They gave of themselves. They're self-motivated, self-driven. They've got that self-vision to go ahead and look and say, this needs to happen. Let's make it happen. Let's get the Lord on here. Let's get the job done. And you and I, isn't that so real for all of us? We look at the circumstances around us in our lives and we say, Lord, what can I do? What part can I play? Where can you use me? And then you step in there and you do it. You might even give of yourself as you do that. So here we find these disciples all the way back then woven into this miraculous event of Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem. They are preparing the way before they even get there. These disciples have done their part. Look with me at verses 4 and 5 in our text. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, on an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. So when we look at this text, we find that he's reaching back. He's reaching all the way back to the book of Zechariah, one of the small minor prophet books at the end of your Old Testament. And he quotes out of chapter 9, verse 9, which says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So in this text, it tells us that the way that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem was God's pre-planned way. This was not an accident. This isn't something that just happened stumbling along. He had gone ahead. God had prepared, planned, and put into place what he wanted to have happen. And announced all the way back in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And so we find here that these prophecies of old are put into place for us to understand God's hand is at work. The entry of Jerusalem into, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is God's plan because he has a purpose. He is going to bring Jesus Christ to the cross. Christ is going to yield himself to the sacrifice upon the cross. It is pre-planned, pre-organized, pre-put into place, pre-prophesied by God in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The details were there for all to see. The details were explicit. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16 tells us, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You and I, when we look at the last book, the book of Revelation, the end times, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of heaven, there upon his thigh is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Here, as he's coming into Jerusalem, these people are drawing that image. They're drawing that picture. As he enters, all of a sudden, people are taking off their garments and they're laying them in the street. Why? Because that's what they do for emperors. That's what they do for kings and for lords. They're taking palms and they're laying them down to smooth the way into Jerusalem. We see a powerful picture of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's interesting how that it talks about him coming in on a donkey. Not a big white horse. not coming in a chariot, not on a bier like some kind of emperor, but he's riding in on a donkey, a colt. Let's look. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 down through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When Christ calls us to Him, what does He say about Himself? He says, "I am meek and I am lowly in heart." When we see Jesus entering Jerusalem, yes, He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is God in the flesh, come to die for the sins of mankind. Yet He says, "I come meek and I come lowly, riding upon the foal of an ass." That is so amazing, the powerful picture that was there for all to see. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says that Christ came being found in the fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's so important for us to understand that when we talk about Palm Sunday, when we talk about those palms being laid in the road, when we pick up our little palm cross, we look at that dried palm, it's a reminder of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's come to die on the cross. That's His purpose. He's not come to overthrow the government. Oftentimes, Christians sometimes think in their mind, well, our job is to change the government. It's not. Our job is, yes, to vote and to be a presence. We're the salt of the earth. We're a light upon the hilltop. But our calling is not to pull the sword and fight a physical fight and change the world. Our calling is to represent Jesus Christ and to bring the gospel for the salvation of souls. For if you and I can see people change from the heart, then all of a sudden it'll change without, outside. It's a matter of us bringing the gospel. It's not that we don't do our part. Listen, we're getting ready to have another community vote, right? Aren't we supposed to go and vote? Is it this coming week that we're supposed to vote, Sandra Jo? I'm going to go vote. You should go vote. You should be represented. But I'm not going to go with a torch, and I'm not going to go with a sword. I'm going to go with a prayer on my heart and a little ballpoint pen. I'm going to do my part. So when you look here and you see the Lord Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem, oftentimes people want to make it about a social cause when actually the reality is Jesus Christ is there for a spiritual cause. He's coming to pay for the sins of mankind that they might find in Him eternal life. That changes our social perspective. That changes our interaction with the world. That changes us as a people when we have Christ. Let's look at verses 8 down through 10. And here we see a massive celebration. Yesterday, I told you, we did a wedding 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Actually, the bride wasn't ready until 2:30. Because they had come, she was covered with snow, her veil was a mess. They had to do a whole bunch of stuff down below in the fellowship hall. So everybody sat up here. They had to be at least 200 people. It was hot in here. We had to open the windows, everybody's sitting and waiting. And how did I start running this rabbit trail? Let me look real quick here. Oh, big celebration. Okay. So we had all these folks. It kicks off at 2:30. We go through everything, all the vows. And all of a sudden, at the end, I said, "And now I present to you the bride and groom." And all of a sudden, people, yay, they're cheering, I'm whistling. Woo! Big celebration. as Jesus comes to Jerusalem, as he begins to enter into the city, the Bible tells us there becomes a celebration. People are excited. People are lifted up. They're moved by this moment. Look at what takes place. Let's go down here to verse 8 in our text. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down the branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed, they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who? Who is this? There was a celebration that affected the community, affected the city. People heard about the excitement. People heard about folks yelling out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they're wondering, who is this? Who is this coming into our city? And people had to explain, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. The Jesus that's been preaching in the cities and villages all around. The Jesus that has come to Jerusalem with a purpose and an intent which they did not yet understand. And they had to pass the word one to another, one to another. That celebration put into motion what God wanted to see accomplished throughout this week. Multitudes of people lifted their voices. You and I, we need to remember that God still calls us to celebrate. Whether there be few or many, this morning I knew, you know, we had the big snowstorm for this year, for the winter of 2024. This is like the blizzard of all time, isn't it? Biggest snowstorm we had all winter this year. So everybody stood in shock and awe of inches of snow this year. So I knew this morning we would not have a large attendance. But whether many or few, we celebrate Jesus. Whether many or few, we lift up our voices and we sing Hosanna, Hosanna. Whether it be many or few, we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He came with the purpose to pay for our sins. As we look at this text, we understand that as these multitudes lifted their voices, what they were really doing was confessing who He is and was. Some of them did not understand. Many did not understand. And we know that. How do we know that? It's because when you read through the text, it's not that much farther, and they're standing outside saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. They didn't understand who He was. But you and I do. We have that hindsight to look back in the scriptures and understand. They were trying to cipher it out. They're trying to figure it out. But you and I know about it. So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to confess who He is. Confess in our hearts and receive Him as our Savior. Confess to our neighbors that Jesus has come. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12 says, For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Whether it was those people on the side of the road yelling out Hosanna, or you and I in our daily lives, we give account before God of our faith and our practice. One day, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Isn't it an amazing thought? That one day, all of creation shall sing Hosanna. Hosanna. They're going to scream out and call out and sing out Jesus, Savior, Messiah. this morning as we were studying in the Bible Hour at 9:30 this morning. We're studying about angels, angelology. And in there we were talking about these angels that are gathered at the very throne of God. And it tells us that as they are there, as their wings are spread, they sing out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And the Bible tells us that in heaven, that goes forth all the time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Here we find them calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They're welcoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You and I, each of us, we're part of that great celebration. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, please do it today. It's a simple step of turning from your sins and turning to the Savior and saying, "Lord, yes, I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept that gift. I accept you as my Savior." As we turn from our sin and we receive our salvation, that's why He was coming into Jerusalem. He had a purpose. He knew He was going to go to the cross for a teenage boy named Tim Taylor, because I needed to have my sins forgiven. He needed to go to the cross for little girl Sandra Jo, who dad became a preacher and she came to know Christ. All around this room, there were people all around the world that Jesus needed to die on the cross for. You and I, our children, our grandchildren, generations of people, He came to die for us all, and He willingly did so. We're going to dismiss with a little chorus, but before we do, I'm going to close this in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we could come together. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Please help us to go forth celebrating you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's again lift up our voices as we sing the chorus of Hosanna.